The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another K4 Wins, K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com, the number four. Check it out, free site. Of course, you subscribe there, and you're getting all of our plays. Kai Gregory, he's been there, done that on both sides for 30-something years, man. He knows exactly what's happening in the world of gambling. What's our line? What's our number from this past week?
Last week, 15-8, moved to 375, 195, and 4 year-to-date.
That is fantastic. Of course, in the upper left-hand corner, Case Kiefer, brand new, popping out 12 days in. Of course, he's with the Las Vegas Sun, chief editor, and does all kinds of wonderful work out there in Las Vegas. And of course, right below me, Kip Kiefer, his man, his dad, and of course, the Birmingham Racecourse Casino Executive Director joins us as well. So we got four guys who think they know something about gambling.
And it's my legacy. I'm always below Tony Curry.
I don't know about
that. And the guy that went 7-1, the Monday night, Kip?
Yeah, I got to... Got off to a good start. Not so good last night. Baseball's been killing me.
Well,
hockey's been good.
Now, for sake of telling the bone, I have added a couple of winners. I believe I'm 3-1 the last couple nights. I've thrown a couple bones on there because I know you guys usually go the opposite way. But I had the Miami Marlins over the 3.5 team total last night, and I had the Boston Bo Sox. So we're coming along. I'm playing the Kip plays because he's hot, and I know when someone's hot, you jump on. And as soon as he hits a cold snap, I'll jump off, and then I'll wait for him to get hot again. But if I can add a couple of winners to it, I'll do it. This is certainly, I love college football, love college basketball, love this. This is the time of year, and we talked about this going to our last show on K4 Wins about the NHL and NBA and playoffs, and now you can really find a lot of value. And I always like to start with a question for Case because he is our ground zero. Team at home, down 1-0 in game twos. We saw that last night with the Lakers. They were opening up, I guess, at a 3 or 3.5. It went up to 6, I saw. And, of course, they get the cover. It seems like easy taking candy from a baby money when a team's down 1-0 at home in the playoffs and they're a small favorite, and that's the game two. Right or wrong?
Right. It seems like that wrong that I take advantage of it. Cause again, I'm the numbers guy. Usually when I got to 6 last night, that was my buy point. I just thought that was way too high. So of course I bet Minnesota +6, not expecting him to win, but I thought that there's just no way mathematically to get to that number. And obviously, lost that one. They did make a run at the end. I think only lost by 9. I didn't see any of the game. But so that one's popular. But I'd say even more where you see the absolute biggest adjustment. And I'm a little bit smarter in this way. I guess I usually just stay away. But when you see, the long-running trend that everyone swears by is if you see the team down 2-0 going home for game three, there's usually an adjustment from home to road usually in the NBA, when it's probably about 6.5 or 7 points for a playoff game, then you probably see like an extra point tacked on there for the team down 2-0 going home for game three. Especially people like to bet that in the first half. So it doesn't make a lot. I guess in one way it does make a lot of sense that the team's desperate. They're going to throw everything. They're going to do all the adjustments they can when they're at this part of the series. At the same time, it's the playoffs. You think both teams would want to win equally. So. It's a tough needle to thread. You got to kind of figure out whether the adjustment's going too far or not. I do think in the last like 5 or 6 years, these spots have been like very 50-50. There was a spot like in the 2010s, I think, like mid 2010s, where the game three spot I'm talking about specifically, and maybe even the 1-0 game two, it was like automatic money. They were winning every time. So I do think now we've adjusted to where that it's probably about right usually, but usually I find myself betting the other side late when it's a situation like last night. I didn't think the Wolves should be a 6-point dog, but clearly they didn't cover and I lost some money on that.
How large do the Rockets have to be a favorite tonight in order not to take them against Golden State down 1-0 at home?
I just fell into the same trap. I didn't even realize when we were recording, I think the last bet I made before coming on here is looking over the screen in the markets. I saw, Just a small bet again, because I know the situation's good for the Rockets. And I really was looking at betting the Rockets at first. I made them, I think, a 1.5 point favorite. I was hoping they opened like a pick and could bet them, but didn't happen. I bet Golden State +3.5 -105. I can't possibly get there. I like the Warriors better than the Rockets. I know the Rockets look great at the end of the game. So we'll see if I go 0-2 on these down 1-0 spots, but I am on Golden State +3.5 -105 tonight. I would not take probably any worse than that, even +3.5 -110. Maybe for a little bit, but I'm on the Warriors tonight, and I'm on them in the series in every possible way, outright series spread, win 4-2 exactly. So I've hitched everything on the Warriors in this first round. We'll see how it goes.
All right, we're going to give you some plays. So we'll give you some more series prices, and of course, we'll give you some plays there as well as we kind of do this on the fly here. We're doing this particular show here on a Wednesday, so we'll try to have it up by Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening. And then let's think of the NHL. Kip, I know you love your hockey right now. Now, we've got several teams that are up 2-0, including, of course, Toronto and Carolina. But for the most part, this has been one of those series, unlike the NBA, where you've got OKC and Boston and maybe Cleveland. It looks like it's just wide open in the NHL right now. Any big surprises for you?
Not really big surprises. I have to give credit to Case because he and I differed on our opinion of the Lightning Panthers series. I thought the Lightning were really primed for a great game one. I wasn't, really that confident. The series was a flat pick 'em pretty much going in, but the Panthers just schooled them last night. I mean, they just thoroughly beat them. And, I thought Florida might be in a little bit of an adjustment period because they really weren't playing on full throttle down the stretch, but they completely outclassed the Lightning last night. So I give some props to Case for that one. That was probably my biggest miss. I also, of course, said on our last show that I liked the Golden Knights personnel wise against Minnesota, but I'm going to publicly admit that I didn't see the young kid. I think his name's Kasparov for Minnesota. That guy's a dynamic guy. He's like a McDavid or a McKinnon. I knew after game one, you didn't see me pick Vegas last night, 'cause I had a really bad feeling that was going to go the wrong way. I should have had the guts to pick Minnesota because they just completely took that game over after the first 5 minutes. So that series is up in the air. They're all Toronto. I think Case and I pretty much agreed was probably the best bet in the first round, and Ottawa's made it tough on them in the Battle of Ontario. But Toronto did get the first two games in that series, and now they go to Ottawa, which isn't much of a road trip. So they'll still be loyalists because Ontario has only had the Senators for the last whatever dozen years or whatever. The Maple Leafs were always the team. So I don't think that's even going to be much of a road test for Toronto. I think they're going to still go through and win that series. But the Kings and the Oilers, what a wild ass game that was in game one. Yeah. 4-0 Kings, 5-2 Kings in the third period, and Connor McDavid by himself brings them back. When you get that one superstar, just illustrious guy in hockey, they make such a difference. I mean, because they just stand out over everybody else on the ice. It's like the rest of them are skating on concrete blocks, and they've got to actually sharpen the skates. McDavid is a difference maker. But I do like in tonight's game, too, 11 goals scored. I was so mad when I made Ty gave me some credit there. I appreciate it because I really had a good Monday. But one of the things I had on my original list was Kings Edmonton over 5.5, and it went at 11. That's not over. They should pay you triple for that. But tonight, I kind of think it's going to settle back down because I think both goaltenders are better than they played in game one. I think maybe the scorers had the edge. I wouldn't be surprised to see that game be more tight checking and kind of closer tonight. I'm kind of leaning over there where, I don't generally go to those over-unders, but I think that 6-5 game was kind of an aberration in the series. Both teams have scores, but the Kings really aren't that explosive either. They usually play a tighter checking game, so that's going to be my first look tonight that I think that game might go under the number.
I love that 6-5, too, because I took the grand salami in NHL goals, and I had the over 23.5, and they had to get to 9 goals in that game. They needed 5 goals in the third period to put it over, and it went 6, and I was so happy. Thank thank God I didn't watch it live. I would have probably lost my brain.
I got to mention real quick. If you had Memphis plus 69 cumulative in the first two games, you lost against Oklahoma City. That has been just an absolute. It's worse than whatever the St. Valentine's Day massacre. They lose the two games collectively by 69 points.
No, and you got Boston and
70 Cleveland. Points, yeah. Actually.
Boston and Cleveland again getting after it later on here, and they're both favored by 12 both, in their next games too. So they're up one of them, both their series. Kai's really good at picking series games, and I was interested to see because this is, and I missed out on it because I love the Clippers in the series, but I thought they were going to lose game one, and I thought I'll wait for them to lose game one, then I'll hop on board and pick the Clippers to win the outright series. I forgot to put the bet in. They get the victory last night, 105-102. Best time to put in a series bet, after one game, before the series starts, Kai? When do you usually put your action in?
I like to do it before, but then for me, my second favorite time is after two games.
Okay.
And I especially love when I can going on the 0-2 team at that point. But that just depends. I got, you know, always heads bet there also. But I mean, you know, that game you're talking about, the Clippers-Denver series, you know, that we were talking about a little bit before we went on. You know, who's happier here? Because, yes, the Clippers have been playing better. But for the Clippers to win a game in that series, you have Kawhi Leonard play the best he's played in five years. And Joker play the worst he's played in 5 years. So, it hurts me because I had Denver in five. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm gonna look back at Denver in six. Because I don't think they're going to take both games now. But, you know. A lot of people like it after one. I like it after no games, and then typically don't really bet the series again unless I'm going to take an 0-2 guy, unless there's a major injury.
Anything it's surprising so far, Kai? From I mean, we're relatively young in both the NHL and the NBA, but anything kind of like head scratching a little bit? We're going to have a couple of obviously some big blowouts, and you mentioned that Memphis blowout as well, but nothing really. Head scratching for you.
I was really surprised that Minnesota handled the Lakers as easily as they did
in game one.
And then, like we talked about earlier, I mean, it was just amazing to see LaFlop last night when somebody touched his ear for him to go, you know, flailing on the ground. I saw a meme that had him getting hit, and he was down on the ground for 80 seconds, which is longer than the dude from the Mets, the pitcher that got drilled in the head with the ball off the bat. He's only down for 74 seconds. And the dude in hockey this year that like got his jaw broken and eye socket messed up, he was only down for 68 seconds. LeBron's ear gets hit with a fingernail and he's on the floor for 80 seconds.
Oh boy.
I don't think Donald Trump was down that long and he got shot in the ear.
Yeah,
exactly. I was shocked how well the Pacers played in game one for sure. In game two, I thought the Bucks just played horribly versus the Pacers playing well, but that, you know, that's my opinion. And I'm really going to be interested to see how the Rockets come out tonight. I don't think Golden State can win both of those games. So I tend to be the opposite side of what Kay said. I would probably go Houston all the way up to five, even though Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy Butler, is in Golden State, making everything easier for Steph. Probably the reason I would go Houston is because I want Golden State to win for my son, who's a big Golden State fan. If I just put a small wager on it for entertainment purposes only, I can be happy if Golden State wins.
All right, Case, go around the entire leagues, both of them. This thing's going to be airing Wednesday. We'll have it up for the next few days. And, of course, we'll get back at you in a couple days here with an update on K4 Wins. Go to K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Make sure you check out Case, Skip, and myself, of course. And Kai joins us as well sometimes, too, in the starting lineup. ABC 3340 from 10:30, 11 o'clock every Saturday morning. Everything updated by the hour on K4Wins.com. You can also subscribe to Case. Give me a couple other things you're looking at that are piquing your interest here in both those leagues and even some Major League Baseball. If you like.
God, baseball's so hard since it's just day by day, but it's kind of been my best thing right now. I haven't got off to a great start in NBA or NHL playoffs game by game wise. I think my series stuff is looking really good, and we're oppo on that Clippers Nuggets, so that was big for me to get game two because I'm all over the Clippers on that one. The number in game three was right on where I made it, so I actually don't have a bet on that. One thing I did bet, game three, the only thing I bet past today, Wednesday, since I might already air game threes, I did bet the Knicks plus one at, The Pistons. I think I bet the Pistons the first two games in the series, obviously 1-1. They had a huge collapse. I bet them +2.5 on the series spread. So I like the Pistons a lot. And I just can't believe how well coached they are and always in the right spots. But I feel like this is kind of a rally spot for the Knicks, who still have, to me, the way better roster. It doesn't fit with that trend I was talking earlier, since the Pistons aren't 2-0 going down home. It's 1-1. I expect they'll make some adjustments here. I think the Pistons have shot a little bit above expectation. So I couldn't believe they were actually an underdog in this game. I made it -1.5. I might've gone to pick now. So as long as it's still pick, I like the Knicks in that game. The other two games that day, I don't really have anything on Denver and the Clippers or the Thunder and the Grizzlies. I will say about the Thunder and the Grizzlies, and you guys didn't say this explicitly, but I've heard other people say it. And, you know, the way the Thunder are blowing out the Grizzlies, people make fun of the Grizzlies and how bad they are. I mean, this is for a team for a long stretch of the season was the 2 seed really in the West. Good. Until John Morant got hurt. To me, this is not about the Grizzlies. This is about the Thunder are a historically dominant team. They are unbelievable. The best point differential in NBA history. People still kind of question them, like, oh, they're young. They've never been there before. I might have said it before on this show, or I've said it on some shows, but it just reminds me so much of the 2015 Warriors, which, you know, I was betting a little bit then, but that was one of my first really big future plays because everyone crapped on the Warriors. Oh, these guys, all they do is shoot threes. They're too young. They can't get through the playoffs. I was like, look at the numbers. They are so much better than everyone. I just slammed the Warriors through that whole playoffs, and I kind of feel like it's smart to do the same with the Thunder this year. I mean, maybe in the finals, if Boston's healthy, they can give them a run, but I just would be shocked if the Thunder lost more than 2 games in any Western Conference series. So pay attention. Maybe next round, if they go down 1-0 or it's 1-1 and you start hear people talking about how they're too young, they can't get it done. Any buy point on the Thunder to me, I think the Thunder are just leaps and bounds better than anyone. It's like their backups could beat most of these teams. They're just such a deep, crazy roster. So nothing on game three, but overall I'm still looking to buy on the Thunder, even though those prices look a little prohibitive. NHL, I know Kip did a pretty good job. I was at the Vegas Minnesota game last night. I was on Minnesota, and I agree. You know, I think Kaprizov's the best player in the series. I mean, people forget he was the favorite for the Hart Trophy at one point early in the season. I mean, he's a top five
dynamic
in the world. Eichel's probably close, but doesn't have a point yet. Vegas just seems so not concerned at all to me. Maybe that's a red flag to some people, but it seemed like they were really calm after the game. They felt like they did things well in the second period and third period. I think they'll have a really good effort in game three. I laid a -135 with them in game three. I think they get it done on the road. I'm on a lot of these road game three hockey teams, so watch out. I think Winnipeg, St. Louis, the final scores have been really deceiving. Connor Hellebuck's let in some soft goals, which is not like him. I know now we're hearing like, oh, it's playoff Hellebuck. He can't get it done. He's a choker. I don't buy it. I think he's going to get on track. And I just think they dominated the play way more than the scores. For them only to be a pick on that St. Louis game three, I put a really big bet on Winnipeg. I wouldn't even be surprised if this is a sweep. I think St. Louis, they had that great climb towards the late season. Now they've kind of regressed to being kind of mediocre to me. And I've been against Winnipeg all year. And now all of a sudden I'm finding myself buying them. And I think they could really do some damage in these playoffs. So I'm looking to bet Winnipeg too. I think they'll be a dog in the next round, probably to Colorado, maybe to Dallas. I'm kind of going to like them in that series too, looking ahead. I think Tampa Bay will even it up with Florida. I will say I was on Florida, like Kip said, in the series, but I thought Tampa Bay would get off to a good start. I mean, Florida, Aaron Ekblad, their best defenseman, had the PED suspension. He's not back till game three. If the Lightning were going to win, I feel like they had to do something in these first two games. You know, numbers wise, you can look and say the Lightning are just as good as the Panthers, but I think I hinted this on my last show, but just look at the pure talent. I mean, the Panthers, this is like the best collection of talent on a team since I've started doing this seriously. And I know they don't have the numbers to show for it. It's because they made all these acquisitions. Then everyone got hurt. Ekblad got the suspension. I don't have anything on them futures-wise either because, you know, historically, we see teams like this that have played so many games the last 2 years, 2 Stanley Cup runs. Usually they can't keep it all together for a third year because guys are so beaten up. They put so much miles on. So it's still a concern long-term. But I got to say, if they figure it out chemistry-wise and these guys stay healthy, they're going to be extremely tough to beat. That being said, Ekblad out one more game. The Lightning, if there's ever a spot where they have to get a win, it's game two. So I do like the Lightning in game two. And yeah, I keep rolling with Toronto as well. I do think that'll be close, but I took Toronto +105. Not as big of a bet as the Winnipeg one I mentioned going on the road at Ottawa. But as an underdog, I thought maybe they should be like minus 105 instead of plus 105. So I went back on the Toronto train on Thursday. Also, the team, the team I kind of shouted out, I think the last time I said, watch out for, I'd be shocked if they're not at least in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think Carolina's looked absolutely dominant back to their usual self against the Devils. Carolina, to me, path-wise, Carolina has it the easiest in the East, because you can make a case for Toronto, Tampa, or Florida, but they have to get through each other. I don't see Carolina having any equal in the first two rounds. So we'll see how that turns out, but I would probably keep betting Carolina too. I just think the Devils without Jack Hughes are kind of toothless.
K4wins.com. K4wins.com is a free website. You can subscribe to it. Last thoughts there, Kip. Anything else jumping out you want to go before we let her fly?
No, just love playoff atmosphere and the games. The intensity is just so much turned up in the NBA. I think to go back to the LeBron being down, I think he was trying to draw a red card against the guy that assaulted him. But that's the wrong sport. I'm sorry. But I just love it in playoff time. I really enjoy it. Baseball's a little topsy turvy. I've got the Braves on in the background. They're driving me to drink, and I don't really drink, but boy, they just are what a terrible start. And yeah, they had the little bit of streak. They gutted out three straight wins against Minnesota and tried to lose to the Cardinals two nights in a row. They got blown out last night, off to kind of a rough start today. But me and the legend, our other cohort, collective Braves and Orioles fans, we are commiserating because both our teams are off to really lousy starts with unbelievable lineups that should be scoring tons of runs.
Kai, your last look at the NBA. What you liking, man?
I'm going to have to stick with Golden State just for my kid, even though I'm playing Houston tonight. But I'll tell you, if you want to make some money right now in baseball, just looking for the hottest team in baseball with the best record, the Mets. San Diego and the Dodgers have been coming back down to earth, both 2-3 in their last five games. Cleveland 5-0 in their last game. But you can't go wrong betting the run line, not necessarily the money line spread, against Chicago and against Colorado, who are two of the absolute two worst teams in baseball.
Man, it's so amazing you brought that up, because I know so many people do that in college football. They take the last five or six teams in college football and they just bet against them. And it's almost like a hedge fund manager, like just betting against. and I hate that way of gambling, but sometimes it works. And the way I look at it, and I've been hopping on, I mean, I look at the Dodgers and look at the Yankees, I look at Houston, I look at San Diego. And if I see them, you know, minus 130 or less, I don't care who's on the mound, I'm jumping on them, because I feel like they've got
always
a good shot.
The overs in Colorado and the unders in Chicago.
Yeah, despite the fact that Chicago won 11-10 last night.
Well, the white side. Yeah. I'm sorry,
not the north side, the south side. Thank you very much.
How's that White Sox, over 52 for the year? How's that looking?
Call me crazy, but I'm
on the White Sox.
I'm not waving the white flag yet. I mean, you really look at their records. They're a lot worse than they should be. I actually don't think it's been great to bet them on the run line.
Yeah, they've been competitive.
They have a lot of one-run losses. The Rockies have been way, way worse.
Yeah, they're awful.
I bet Rocky's worst record, so I'm feeling really good about that one. The White Sox also have a lot of kids that they're waiting service time coming up. I think they're going to get better. I really think they're like 0-6 in one-run games or something like that. So call me crazy, but I really don't think the White Sox are quite as bad as their record indicates, and I think the Rockies are way worse.
We're crazy, but we still love you. K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Until next time, guys, thank you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.